I know many of you have your Bible on your cell phone, but please make sure you don't flip over to Instagram while I'm preaching. Make sure you don't flip over to Facebook. You're going to want to hear this. We've had now another week of listening to All Bad News. Musicians, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Another week of listening to All Bad News. We've had ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CBS, and Fox News Network constantly 24 hours a day just giving us bad news. But this morning, I have some good news for us. In the time that the government doesn't know what to do, the people don't know what to do, the president, the governors, the county judges, nobody knows what to do, I want to minister a message this morning entitled, Jesus Knew What He Would Do. He's never thrown off. He's never at a loss as to what his next act is going to be. He always knows what he's going to do. John chapter 6, and beginning with verse 5. The backdrop on this, of course, is there was a multitude that followed Jesus as he was teaching, followed him for miles out into somewhat of a wilderness. There were no stores there. Verse 5 says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he, Jesus, said to prove him, because he himself knew what he would do. This he said to prove. The word prove means to examine or to test him. He was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do to solve this issue of the people not having anything to eat. Let's pray. Father, we just love you this morning. We thank you for the good glad tidings in the midst of troubled times, in the midst of gloom and darkness and people not knowing what to do, Lord, that we have direction from you. We thank you, as the worship minister said early, that you are our refuge. You are our safe place. We thank you for that this morning. Bless this word. Open the ears, the hearts of your people. Help us, oh God, to allow it to be spiritual nourishment to our inner man. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. This Jesus said to examine, to test Philip, because he already knew what he was going to do. In a situation like we're in now, unprecedented pandemic, not just in the nation, around the globe, world leaders are at a loss. They really don't know what to do. They're trying to shift blame from one to the other to the other. They're at a total loss. But Jesus always knows, and he knows for you and I exactly how he's going to handle this. He knows exactly for his people how he plans for this to impact their lives, to increase their faith, to move forward even their position in life. Jesus knows always what he's going to do. My own self, I am looking at this situation, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have an inside track. God didn't wake me up last night and say, Brother Lincoln, this is exactly what I'm going to do. He usually doesn't tell us because he wants us to operate by faith. He wants us to just walk step by step by faith after him. And so I don't know how all of this is going to end, but I do believe that Christ Unveiled Ministries is going to be in a better position when it's all done than we were when it started. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm beginning to see through the all the news that's coming out, I'm beginning to see us land in a better place. And I hope that you're trusting God. I hope that you're looking to God, not to give you an answer, but that you trust him that he knows what he's going to do. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 7. Philip answered, he's responding to Jesus. He answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, Philip made a problem. He made a mistake here. He made a dire mistake. And I think that many of us make a mistake because we think we know how Jesus should answer the problem. We get ahead of ourselves and we say, well, you know, in the normal situation, we would just go to the store and buy food. And there's not enough money to go buy enough food for all of these people that are out there. And his problem was he presented the answer to Jesus, although he didn't have a full answer. He presented the answer to Jesus. And many times you and I, we can approach Jesus with our problem and our answer. We can approach him with the problem that we see, and we also have the answer that we want him to invoke. But Jesus always knows what he's going to do. And I found this out, that when you're dealing with someone and they're smarter than you, you probably should just listen to what they're saying. When I was a computer programmer, we had this thing, and all programmers that are our programmers know this. If you had a counterpart, a peer that got stuck in a logical area that I can't figure out the logic on this, they go get one of their counterparts and say, hey, take a look at this and help me. And the one rule that all programmers know is that person who's stuck, never let them explain the problem to you, because they've navigated through it to the place that they got stuck. You need to, with fresh eyes, look at it for yourself, because you're liable to just move right through it. Well, sometimes we come to Jesus and we think we already have an answer, like Philip did. And Philip basically, here's what Philip said. Here's how come, this is why we can't feed the people. 200 penny worth is not enough. Jesus said, well, how are we going to feed these? Here's why we can't do it. So when we come to Jesus, we have to realize, first of all, he already knows what he's going to do. Saints, everything is a test. Everything you go through in life is a test. If you're purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, every trial, every situation is a test. Jesus said he's not ignorant of how to fix our situation. The one who doesn't know how it's going to turn out is you and me. Jesus is already solid. And in fact, he asked Philip just to test, just to prove, just to examine Philip. And Philip had the wrong answer, because he came with an answer. He had the question and he came with an answer. But watch in verse 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, unto Jesus, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what is this among so many? I want to draw your attention to the question mark at the end of that statement. In other words, he's saying, Jesus, here's the resources we have. They're pitiful. They're no good. What is this going to help among such a great need? When you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ with our problem, make sure you have a question and not an answer. Make sure you're coming asking him, Lord, how is this going to fit together, and not telling him how you think it's going to fit together. And what is this amongst so many? Now, it was 5 loaves, 5 barley loaves. Barley wasn't as good as wheat. Wheat had more nutritional value. Barley was poor man's food. And in those days, they didn't put preservatives in their food. And so if they'd been, you know, walking a day or two, the barley loaves were beginning to mold a little bit. They was already beginning to get hard. So it was of very little value. And the Holy Spirit said it was 2 small fish. It wasn't 2 big catfish. It was just little bitty minnows. Just enough for the boys' dinner. And Andrew says, what is this amongst so many? So look at the 2 different ways that Philip came with a statement, saying, here's how, is not a complete answer, but here's how I think you should do it. 200 penny worth is not enough. You got some more money, Jesus. And then Andrew comes and says, here's the resources, but what is this amongst so many? My point is that when you and I come to the Lord, even in this situation that we're going through right now, someone says, well, I don't know how the rollout's going to be. Are we going to have a reinsurgence of the virus? Are more people going to get laid off? Is my job going to lay off? Don't worry about all of that. Just bring it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, what would you have me to do? How will I operate through this? When this first thing first hit, my wife and I, we were very diligent to start looking at, okay, what options are there? What can we do? And I think that within a very short period of time, we were already moving in the right direction. But here's the thing, is don't be aggressive. It took me 30 years of walking with the Lord to get this. I'm an aggressive personality. I have learned Don't get aggressive. Just let it happen. The Lord is doing everything that he's doing. Just let it happen. He will lay it out right in front of you in a way that you can't lay it out yourself. But many times we get proactive, we get energetic, we start running into things, and we just in the Lord's way, just in his way. We're saying 200 penny worth is not enough. Andrew, what you got? Peter, how much you got? Come on, let's get to, we get active, we get aggressive, we get proactive, and the Lord doesn't need any of that. He is powerful enough to answer the situation without our help. Get out of the way and just let him do what he does. Just trust him. You see, it's easy to trust him when everybody's on the job, when unemployment is 3% or lower, when everybody's on the job and nobody's sick. When the bank account is filled up and the economy is flying, it's easy to trust him then. But now's the time that it really matters, is when you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to come out. You don't know, even as they begin to try to take this off of the people somewhat, to kind of loosen some of the constraints of the social distancing, we don't know how it's going to turn out. But we can look to Jesus, understanding that he already knows what he's going to do. He's not waiting for the administration to come up with a plan. Jesus had a plan before the problem ever hit. He's not waiting for the governor of Texas or the county judge of Dallas County for them to come up with a solution. He already knows for his people. And all we do is just wait on God. Just wait on the Lord. No, the scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said it to the Philippians. He said, but my God shall meet all your need in accordance to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's able to meet all of our need. But it's not our job to tell him how to do it. You know what that scripture is really saying? God is basically, when he says I'll meet all your need in accordance to my riches and glory, what he's really saying is that I got you. I got you, relax. I got it. But we got to have enough faith to just believe that God not only has it, he's stable. You can put all your weight on him and he can hold you even in a time that it seems like everything is going under. So many times we try to tell the Lord, this is how I need the solution. I think more times than we realize, you know, we try to tell the Lord, here's what I need. We don't say here's how to answer the prayer, but we give him the solution. Like we try to slide it in without him knowing that we just gave the answer. But his resources are so vast, he can answer it in 100 different ways that you and I cannot even conceive of. When Jesus did his first miracle in Cana of Galilee, he was there at the wedding in Cana, and his mother was there. And the host of the wedding ran out of wine. And oh, there's so much that we can learn from this. Now, we're going to come back to John chapter 6, but just jump over to chapter 2 of the book of John just quickly. Let's look at this text. Chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, says to Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now this phrase, what have I to do with thee? Most translations that you look at, they're going to translate it something like, what does that have to do with me? Them being out of wine, what concern is that of mine? That's how most of the translations will translate it. But I looked up this morning a translation I never heard of, it called the Good News Translation. And I don't know how good of a translation this is, but they hit this one right on the point. They translate, what have I to do with thee, as you must not tell me what to do. That he told Mary, his mother, concerning them running out of wine. He told Mary, you must not tell me what to do. And I think you and I could take that away in our situation and our problem, that we must not tell Jesus what to do. We have to just listen to him and let him tell us. When Jesus comes into our situation, he's always going to come in as God. When he comes into your life, comes into your situation, your problem, he steps in as God Almighty. He never comes in as the servant that you tell what to do. He comes in as the Almighty, and he tells us what to do. Again, the Good News Translation, you must not tell me what to do. This is what he told his mother. Mine hour is not yet come. Oh, this gets better than that. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. That is the solution to allowing God to move in our circumstance in a greater way than ever before, is that whatever that he tells you, do it. And many times what the Lord tells you makes no logical sense. None whatsoever. When we were in the storefront, we were putting together money because we wanted to build the first building that we built over there. And man, we were scraping. I am not exaggerating. We had a 5-gallon water jug, and we were collecting coins. And we asked the saints, when you come in, throw your spare change in here. We're doing everything we can to try to put some money together. And money was tight, and we only had a few people, and we had big dream of building that first building was, I think, just under $250,000, $250,000 for that first building, and we're collecting change. And we had a missionary then, because we've always supported missionary efforts. He was from, where was that brother from? South America, I think. Where? Costa Rica, that's correct. You were there. And he came in, and I remember the Lord spoke to my heart and said, give him an offering, $2,500. And this is the time I'm asking the saints, give me your pennies so we can save it. And God's telling me, give this man $2,500. And I didn't know what to do. But because I fear the Lord, I obeyed him. And I remember the man was on his knees praying, and I had to do it fast, because if I thought about it, I wouldn't have done it. Went and wrote that check, and as he's praying, I just pressed it into his hand and walked away. So it's a done deal. And we went ahead and we collected the money so that we could build the church. And we didn't have enough money to buy the seats. And I had built the pews in the old church, but we couldn't have homemade pews in that new building. And I had a preacher call me I never met. Because I just, whatever he said, I just did it. The preacher called me and said, hey, I've got some pews that we no longer need. It was a large church, and if you want them, you can just come pick them up. We went and picked up the pews, and they were gorgeous. I mean, they were big money pews, but they didn't fit our small building. So we had the pew company come out to cut the pews down to make them fit into our little bitty sanctuary. It was amazing. When they cut them down, they fit exactly in the sanctuary the way that we had them laid out. And the city requires that you keep two places for handicapped seating so a wheelchair can sit there. And the pew would fit just far enough that there'd be room for a handicapped seat on both sides. On both sides. Here's what I'm saying. Whatever he says to you, just do it. He doesn't require you to understand it. He doesn't need for you to approve it through your logical processes. Just whatever that he says, just do it. And many times when he tells you, it will not make sense. It'll be like, well, that's just upside down. Why in the world? And we'll see that here. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Okay, well, that don't make sense. We don't need water, brother. We need wine. But yet it seems like his answer is totally nothing to do with the issue that you're having. He said, fill the water pots with water. No person that operates in logic would have seen that as a solution. But you know what the servants did? They filled the water pots with water. The governor would have never gotten wine had the servants not just simply, whatsoever he saith, just do it. And in this situation that we're in, whatever the Lord tells you, listen to him and just do it, no matter what, if it makes sense to you or not. He don't fail. He don't fall short. He always knows what he will do. Fill the water pots with water, and they filled it up to the brim. Then Jesus said, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. Well, for the person, listen, I just put water in those pots. And now you're telling me, go take it to the governor of the feast? Well, that don't make sense. That's not logical. My logic tells me that in that vessel is nothing but water filled to the brim. And you're saying, now take it out and give it to the governor. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'll be embarrassed if I do that. But you know what these servants did? Whatsoever he said, they just did it. This is so important for you and I to learn. I forget who it is that said this, but it's so good. When you can't see his hands, you just got to trust his heart. You just got to realize that he's kept me all this time. He's never failed me. He's never forsook me. I am just going to walk with him. When this thing hit, Mr. Shalika, we were like, we don't know what's going to happen. If we don't have people that are given to the work of the ministry, we can't pay the mortgage. And, the bank may come back and take back the building. We agreed together. Either he's God or he's not. Either this is his work or it's not his work. If we're going to go down, it's going to be right here, right now. We don't have to put it off till later on. Either you're God right now or you're not God at all. And all saints, I see God as we just obey him. I see him moving us to a better position than we were when this thing lets up than we were ever coming into it. Now, this is not the default. Everybody doesn't get this. There are small businesses all over the nation that are coming to an end. There are even churches in the nation that are faltering and failing. But to those who will simply trust God, whatsoever he says, do it. So the servants filled the water pots with water, even though it didn't make sense. Then they took water from the water pot that they filled and took it to the governor of the feast, even though it didn't make sense. And when the governor of the feast got it, he said, "You have saved the best wine until last." There's something in the miracle working power of God. It's astonishing to the human mind, but it never fails. It never fails. Jesus knows what he's going to do. He's not confused by the situation. If you go back now to John chapter 6, we'll finish this story about the multitude in the wilderness without food. We left off in verse 9. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." And even Andrew knows that's not an answer. He says, "What is this amongst so many?" And Jesus took the loaves, insufficient as they were. Now remember, the crowd is 5,000 people besides the women and children. You got a few little loaves that are stale and getting ready to mold. Jesus took them. The little $2,500 we gave that missionary, it was a lot. It seemed like it was everything we had. It seemed like a lot. But it was totally insufficient to build that building. It could not have put the pews in there. But when you put your little insufficient, just trust God with whatever that he tells you to do, and you just do that, God will obligate himself to take care of your need. I'm sorry, verse 10. Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." I jumped to 11, but I need to go back to verse 10. Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." Now, before you can get what you need to sit down. When you take a seat, that is a position of submission. You're submitting. You're calming yourself. And listen, you can watch this news bunch and you can watch what's going on. I told you 2 weeks ago, if this thing went very long, it would end up in society beginning to fall apart. And you see 5 or 6 states now, they already got mob. They got protesters around the Capitol. Saying that, hey, you got to unlock this thing. You got 20 million people that could take care of their families a month ago can no longer take care of their families, and the unemployment can't help them because it's too many people. The government said, "Well, we'll send you a check," but they messed it up. So we're in a place now. We see the government can't help us. Jesus is the only one that can help us. And in this situation, we as God's people, we have to understand. God is not confused about this situation. He's not confused at all. It's a test to see how you will react. Let me tell you about what I went through. Here's my test. I can be kind of stubborn, they say. People tell me that. And when this thing started happening, Mr. Clay Jenkins, the county judge, he said, hey, we got to do this, and then we're going to do that and do this. I didn't like it. I still don't like it. But I had to come to the place to realize that he is the government authority set in power. And as a Christian, it is my obligation to obey it. I'm not required to like it. I'm required to walk in it. As long as what he's saying is not ungodly, I've got to walk in it. That was my test. Every one of us is going through a test in this situation. It's impacting all of us differently. But don't you think that it's not a test for you as a Christian? So he says, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. You know, it doesn't really make sense. Here you got Jesus. In the next verse, you're going to see he's going to take the loaves and the fish. You got 5,000 people sitting down besides the women and children. And you got 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. Seems like you're in a predicament. Seems like you're at the point of no return. But it says Jesus took the loaves, verse 11. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. Now, you got to see this in your mind. 5,000 people, babies crying, the young people are getting anxious, everybody's hungry. Jesus has 5 stale loaves of bread, and they're biscuits. They're not a loaf of bread like we know. They're just little biscuits and a couple little sardines. And he takes those 5 loaves and breaks them and gives each of the disciples a little piece of them. And he says, now go feed the people. Well, that don't make sense. Lord, all that you gave me was a scrap. This ain't enough to even feed me. And you're telling me to take it out there and feed the people. He distributed to the disciples. And the disciples, they obeyed. They distributed to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Verse 12, when they were filled, meaning when the multitudes who had received these few little, I tried to pin down, where did the miracle happen at? Where exactly did that miracle happen? Because he didn't give the disciples, they had to eat probably 2 or 3 dozen baskets of bread, as 5,000 folks. He didn't give them baskets. He gave them remnants. He gave them those little pieces. And it seems to me that the disciple would give one family one, and it would turn into more than what he gave them. And he still only got a little loaf in his hand. So he'd break off another piece and give it to the next family, and it's a whole bunch, but he still got a little loaf. And they just kept doing that until every single person got fed, and everybody ate as much as they wanted to eat. You don't have to understand it. That's not a requirement. Because here's the truth. If the requirement was that you and I had to understand it, Jesus would be able to do almost nothing. He would no longer be God. He would just be a president or a prime minister. But because he is God, there's no requirement for you and I. It's beyond us. God has a math that you and I can't understand. God can take A and subtract B, and the answer is greater than A. Let me say it again. He can take this little piece and he can break fragments off that 5,000 people can eat. And when he's done, he got more left than what he started with. And in fact, it says it right here in this scripture. When they were filled, verse 12, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Jesus always knows what he's going to do. The situation never throws him off at all. You know, God is, He's able right now to just snap his finger. He don't even have to snap his finger. He can just speak a word and this whole coronavirus thing will be gone. But how are you and I going to learn to trust him? See, it's one thing to know God on the mountaintop. It's another thing to know him in the valley. It's one thing to know him under the anointing, but it's another thing to know him when you feel dry. And we go through all of these things. He takes us through all of these things because he wants to try us. He wants to examine us. Now, he already knows where we're at, but we don't know where we're at. All of us are strong when it's the anointing. Who's not strong when the anointing is flowing? Musicians, would you please come back? But it's when the anointing's not flowing that we really get to see exactly where we're at and how we're operating in the things of God. And so what I'm saying to you this morning, that Jesus always knows what he'll do. He's never thrown off by the situation. As I said earlier, the president may not know, the Congress, the House may not know, the local judges, and they may not know. But Jesus has a tight grasp. He knows the solution. And if you'll listen to him, he's already given instruction to each single person of how we navigate through this entire situation. I'm looking at the situation for Christ Unveiled Ministries, and I believe in God that when this is done, which we imagine is going to be in a few more weeks, that we as a ministry will be in a better place than we were ever in before the thing ever started. Trust God together. Let's trust God together. As you sit there in your homes, I'm going to ask you right now to just bow your head right where you're at. And we're going to reach out to the Lord together. We're going to thank him for what he's about to do. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, righteous God, that you're never confused, that you always have the situation in hand. Lord, that you don't fall out of the throne simply because man becomes confused. That your resources are greater than our resources, and that you gave us a promise that you'd meet our every need in accordance to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you today. Father, as we pass through this test, as we pass through this time of turmoil, oh God, help us to grow in our faith, to grow in our confidence towards you. To realize, Lord, that you put us in that sacred place in Christ Jesus, that we're in the secret place. Come on, right there in your homes. That is bothering you, that is concerning you, that is causing anxiousness in your spirit. Come on, let's just present that to the Lord right now. Father, we don't have an answer, but we know you do. We don't come to you this morning with a solution. We come with a question. What would you have us to do in this situation? Come on, just reach out. Just reach out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Reach out to the Lord.
Oh, Thank you for watching, and please subscribe. You can also find more of our videos in our archives at ChristUnveiled.org. We'll see you next time.